And hello, ladies and gentlemen. You have reached the Wrestling is Everything is Wrestling podcast, otherwise known as the WEW podcast, part of the Multimedia Men brand on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, part of Boomstick Comics. I'm Brian Kluger, and we're here to talk about WrestleMania 34, as well as some other wrestling news. And I am joined by the magical, the omnipotent Angie Sanders.
What up, Buttercups? Hey.
How are you?
I am spec-friggin-tacular. I was at WrestleMania. Where were you?
Where were you, guys? Yes, Angie went to New Orleans, had some beignets. She went to WrestleMania. She walked around the French Quarter. She had some stories. We're going to get to all that. But also, if you've listened to the WEW podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio through Boomstick Comics, you probably know that Angie has actually worked out with Seth freaking Rollins, which I think she got to do again in New Orleans. Angie, please tell us all, did Seth Rollins recognize you? Are y'all best friends now? Did y'all have a beer and a beignet? Did y'all work out? I don't know what's happening.
Okay, well, the answer to your question was yes, he did recognize me. He knows exactly who I am. But something, because this is a podcast, y'all can't see that I have blue hair. And it's kind of hard to forget the chick who is cheering for everybody, who loves the workouts that kill us, and is, I mean, I am the stereotypical CrossFitter, except I love to hurt myself. And yes, he did recognize me. In fact, he was like, "You're back for more?" And I'm like, "Yes, sir." And so, yeah, he definitely recognized me.
That's super cool. So when he recognized you, were you just like, "Ah, butterflies and love"?
There was quite a bit of love, but no butterflies, because, well, you know, not to make it sound like working out with Seth Rollins is not a big deal, because it is. I was more calm and collected this time around, if that makes any sense at all.
Because you're old friends now. It's just like, you know, shooting the breeze with an old friend working out.
Yeah, you know, that's how we do. And yeah, it was a blast. Like, his coach, because his coach is the one who actually runs the class. Seth is just working out with us. His coach recognized me, too. And he comes up to me and goes, "Hey, Ange, how's your day? How you doing?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm great. Joshy G, how are you?" And, so that was fun.
You had a great workout. However, you did tell me, we did talk about this, somebody came into that workout that surprised you and you might have really liked.
You know, I told you this in confidence. okay. And I actually, before I tell everybody who it was, it was one of those moments where I really had to question whether, you know, my humanity. Because my identity is so steeped in my dislike for this person. And I actually had to call my best friend, and she had to tell me, no, you're okay because of the circumstances. And I'm like, oh, okay, fine. I still have a soul. And I don't know when he walked in. I didn't see him, badumptus. it was John Cena. I finished I finished my workout and I'm cheering everybody on, and I look over to my left and there is John Cena. And what surprised me was how big I fangirled and marked out, and I really had to question my identity, my whole fabric of existence, because I was excited to see John Cena. But what makes it okay, because...
Well, I just want everybody to know that even though Angie says she hates John Cena, now you know that's not the case.
No, it is the case, because they're completely two different circumstances versus cheering John Cena in a wrestling ring and cheering John Cena as a weightlifter, all right? Because when you lift weights, there's a part of you that is connected to every other weightlifter. You want to see somebody succeed in weightlifting. You want to see people move heavy weights. And I will just say, watching John Cena lift weights in person is otherworldly. It's like by the way, no, there are no pictures of me and John Cena. Nobody bothered John. He was doing his own thing. He was not part of the Seth Rollins Dead Boys workout. Okay, let me make that perfectly clear. He was just there at the same time we were. And so after everybody's done with their workout, I mean, John's off doing his own thing over across the way. And he just starts doing these squats. Just, you know, he's got a barbell on his back. There's a ton of plates on it. We're trying to concentrate on the little Q&A that Seth is doing because, you know, after the workout, he hung out with us and he talked with us. And he's like real chill and real awesome and let us ask anything we wanted. And but we're all still kind of glancing over at John, and somebody is all like, I wonder how much weight is on that bar. Seth takes a glance at it and goes, oh, that's about 500 pounds. And let me again stress, he is repping this out. What this means is he's just doing multiple squats with 500 pounds on his back like it's nothing. All right. And
so John Cena is no joke. Like, he legitimately is that strong.
He is legit strong. And after everybody leaves, I'm actually waiting on one of the coaches to buy a t-shirt from CrossFit NOLA, because one of the things that I personally like to do is if I work out in a gym that I've never been to, I want to buy a shirt. It's a thing. And so everybody's gone, and like even Seth leaves before I do. And John is still doing his thing, and he's deadlifting at this point. I have no idea how much is on that bar when he's deadlifting, but when he dropped the bar, it went thud. Usually when you drop a bar and it's, you know, got, I don't know, 200, 300, it still has a little bit of a bounce to it. This thing just went thud, did not move, dead weight, paper, you know, just was like, it was nothing. I swear there was a crater in the ground, okay? John Cena is legit strong. And to watch him lift, it's life-changing.
That's such a cool story. I'm glad you got your best and worst people in WWE in one location that you call your sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
And then you ended up loving both of them at that moment.
I cheered him as a lifter, not as a wrestler. There's a huge difference. And I only know this because my best friend told me, like, no, you were cheering him as a lifter. That's okay. So I will also say it was also pretty cool because I might have out-squatted my squat partner because we worked on squats as well. And my squat partner, he is awesome. He was awesome. He's actually going to go to Seth's wrestling school, Black and Brave Wrestling, in a few months. So he was pretty cool. But I accidentally lifted more than him. Accidentally.
I'm stronger.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he gave his best and he gave 100%. And so I cheered him on because he gave what he had. I just was stronger than him.
There you go. If you don't know, yep. Angie is quite strong. You might say she is the queen of strong style.
Hey, I'll take it.
Well, that's really cool. So you got to do that. You got to do that. And then you went to WrestleMania and so first off, WrestleMania, I think the paperwork came in and it was 32 hours long.
You know, I have no idea how long it was. I know that I got into the building around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Doors opened at 3. I was there about 4. And I didn't leave till 11:30-ish. I know that at 9:30, they still had three matches to go.
Yeah.
And pay-per-views typically end at 10. We're like, what, every match is going to be 10 minutes? No, no, no. And just a different aside, and still keeping in the John Cena theme, I learned acceptance from John Cena fans, maybe, possibly. I ended up sitting next to a few of John Cena fans, and they were my buddies throughout the night. And when they sat down, I told them, you know, hey guys, I got to be up front with you. If I'm going to sit with you guys, I'm not a John Cena fan. I will boo him. And they're like, that's fine. It's wrestling. You can cheer and boo whoever you want. I'm like, what? Because my people, my John Cena sucks people, we don't associate with John Cena fans. That's just you just don't do it. It's like, oh, you're a John Cena fan? I don't know if we can be friends. But, you know, I figure if John Cena fans can accept me, I'll start accepting John Cena fans. That doesn't mean I'm going to accept John Cena, even though I cheered him lifting.
We don't know that for sure.
We do know that for sure. But yeah, WrestleMania, it was so long. I didn't get back to my car, which was parked maybe a mile, 2 miles away. By the way, guys, I'm really fast when I walk. And but still, I didn't get back to my car till about midnight. No joke.
Yeah. It
was, that's just how long the show was. And it was a great show. I had great seats, too.
So, yeah, that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about this WrestleMania 34. You know, it's actually, you know, all of the reception and stuff like that, it's received mixed reviews from both fans and professional critics, meaning like it's not as good as everybody thought it would be. However, there were probably flashes of moments that were really awesome. And from you being there, what do you think? Like, it seems like the crowd was really into it early on. And then, of course, having, you know, an 8-hour show, you're going to get exhausted.
We were. at the beginning of the show, like even the pre-show, the crowd was pretty much into it. I haven't actually watched the show on the network because, again, that's a marathon just to do. But they even got into the cruiserweight match. All right. Like they were into it. The cruiserweights got a "This is awesome" chant, and that's the first time I've ever heard that. Much less participated in it, because you know I've just not been happy with the cruiserweight product. But the battle royals were pretty good from the fan perspective. Again, I don't, you know, I hadn't gone back and watched it, but the beginning of the night started out with a bang. It was the Intercontinental Championship match, which, guys, I lost my voice during this match, and I still had 6 hours of show to go, you know?
Yeah.
But, I was actually wondering who was more entertaining to my fan friends that I was sitting next to, the match or me, because, guys, it was Seth Rollins winning the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania, and I was there. You know, he became a Grand Slam champion. I was there to witness that amazing moment in his career, and that, as a Seth Rollins fan, is just monumental. And I mean, yeah, but I didn't have a voice. And yeah, the crowd was really into that, and the crowd was really into everything else. But they kind of died. Like, we got after the Ronda Rousey match, that's when I noticed that the energy started really going. And by the main event, we were exhausted, and that, and I actually want to go back and watch the main event to see exactly what came through on the TV, because let's put it this way, The crowd was more interested in a beach ball and multiple beach balls than they were the actual match.
So, yes, this is very true. And on the network, you don't see any of the beach balls. I mean, you just see the match, basically. But you
there can, were like six of them going.
Yeah, but you can easily tell that the noise is really not that great. Like, it is, it's not.
No, we were legit more interested in beach balls. I even tried to pay attention to the match, and I'm like, meh. But, you know, I don't want to, like, jump too far ahead. But that match, nobody was really interested in it at all.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, you know, with that whole type of thing. When that happens, especially for the main event. But again, when WWE puts on 8-hour shows and they have the same person in the main event and you've seen this match, you know, everybody's just like, okay. You know, I think that match would have really been awesome if it would have been like the second or third match.
If they'd have put on, I don't know, it's like, I would say, you know, even the AJ Styles match with Shinsuke Nakamura should have tore the house down, but the crowd, we just weren't into it. I was into it because AJ, hello, but the crowd wasn't there.
Yeah.
The last three matches, I believe it was like the Raw tag match, AJ, and then the main event. We were done. We were just done.
Yeah, you don't see it on TV, but know that main event, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, people were not interested, which is upsetting. But again, long show. However, I want to say that probably the match that worked the best, that everybody was shocked at, because we've seen Ronda Rousey in the ring, but we haven't seen her fight yet. And we all thought, like, okay, this match should last hopefully like less than 5 minutes. And hopefully it's good. But then, oh my God, it lasted longer than that. And it was awesome. She killed it. And thank you, Triple H and Stephanie, for like selling everything and making this match really great and fun to watch. I was shocked. I think it was one of the best matches of the night.
It was the surprise of the night. And like, even I going into this match, because I said it. It's like, this is either going to be okay or it's going to be a train wreck. It was better than okay. It was literally one of the best matches of the night. And that's kind of sad considering you had Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles on the card, which was a letdown. But, you know, if we're going to get into that, but,
I think most of the matches were just kind of meh, and like everybody wanted to see the Shinsuke AJ Styles match, and these two, I mean, Shinsuke's entrance was next level badass for sure.
That was the best part of the match was Shinsuke's entrance, and I don't even like Shinsuke.
But their match, it just seemed like, okay, like it was, I mean, they did well, but it was just so slow moving and there wasn't like a huge payoff other than Shinsuke turning heel.
Yeah, that was like, okay, that was the second best part of the match. And that, by that time, the match was over.
Yeah.
you know, I just expected so much more from Shinsuke and AJ, you know? And I think that maybe that was our problem, is that we did expect so much from it. And it was just meh. Okay. It's a match. Because it had so much potential to tear the house down. Even as tired as we were, they could have energized us with a match, and they didn't.
Yeah.
They just didn't. Totally aside here, you know I won our bet, right?
Yes, I know you won the bet, which is crazy because I got some of the big matches right. You got most of the matches right. I got some of the big matches right.
Yeah, but I got all the long shots.
You did get all the long shots.
Thank you.
Hey, but I do believe I think I said Lesnar was winning, right?
No, you gave it to Roman. Oh. I gave it to Lesnar. Because everybody was expecting Roman. And I'm like, nah, watch it. It's Lesnar. And so, yeah, I was probably the only person happy about that. And that's only because I knew I beat you.
No, I was actually, I was excited because I was kind of like, okay, so I see the story they're trying to tell. Hopefully this is just not like he wins at WrestleMania and then he loses it the next week or two to somebody. But I don't know what they have planned for Roman. Like, I don't know.
Where do they go from here? You know, probably, you know, let's just start pushing somebody else, you know? But that's probably not going to happen. He's probably going to win it in Saudi Arabia in a cage. And then go against Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's probably what's going to... I'm just glad it wasn't at WrestleMania. Honestly, the last time I was at a WrestleMania, Roman won the title. And I was not happy about it then either. And, you know, they probably didn't want Roman to get booed out of the house. Because his entrance, again, I don't know what came up on the network. But he was booed like a heel.
Yeah.
All right. Like, again, I don't know anybody who was around me, at least, who was cheering for him. But then again, like I said, we were all interested in the beach balls.
Yeah.
So nobody was cheering for anybody.
Now I have to talk about probably one of the best moments of the night. We have to talk about the brand new one-time champion, Nicholas.
That was hilarious.
Braun Strowman and Nicholas defeated Cesaro and Sheamus. Now, to set this up, this is a tag team match for the Raw Tag Team Championship. In the last WEW podcast Angie and I had, we talked like, I think, like 15 minutes on who Braun Strowman's opponent could be. Nobody, yeah. I mean, if somebody bet on this in Vegas, it would be looked into by the FBI because nobody saw this coming.
Yeah, it'd be insider betting. It's like, what do you mean a 10-year-old child?
So like Braun Strowman comes out, Cesaro and Sheamus are out there, and Braun Strowman's like, I have my opponent finally. And he's like, and he points to the camera, it's one of you. He gets out and he goes through the crowd and he picks out a 10-year-old boy named Nicholas to be his tag team partner. And if you were at home, you know the crowd went crazy. But Angie, what was the crowd like when this happened?
What the crowd was like is we were into it. We didn't quite understand it, but we thought it was great. Before we even knew Nicholas's name, Nicholas was getting cheered with chants of "Let's go, child." Okay, I don't know if that came through.
That did
but
not
it's like
come
"Let's
through.
Go." Oh yeah, it's like he was getting "Let's go, child," and then when we found out his name, Nicholas was getting cheered up one side and down the other, like they wanted Nicholas in the match. Speaking of Nicholas chants, he even got a chant in the main event of "We want Nicholas." All right.
So during Lesnar Reigns,
"We want Nicholas" rang throughout the arena. I don't know if that came through, but it was hilarious. Again, we entertained ourselves during the main event. I mean, there was a wave, there were beach balls. We were just not interested. We were interested in everything but the main event. But yeah, back to Nicholas. Yeah, he got a warm reception. We were quite happy to see him.
He did. And so if you watched it, you know, of course with, you know, everything that the wrestlers do to each other, like violence in the ring, you cannot do that with the child. So basically Nicholas stood by the ropes on his side with Braun Strowman in the ring fighting mostly. And you could tell visibly, at least Nicholas acted like he was super scared. But then when Braun Strowman tagged him in, the crowd like popped so hard.
Yeah. We lost our minds when he tagged Nicholas in. and then when he, you know, Nicholas did not, you know, he got in the ring. He didn't really do anything because, you know, 10-year-old child, you can't do that sort of stuff with a 10-year-old child. We were just happy to see him get tagged in.
And then when he
tagged Braun back in, we were happy for that. We were just like, all right.
And that solidified, like, it was actually a tag team match. So, like, mm-hmm. He tagged in and tagged out. So, which is great. We've seen The Miz do that many times. But yeah, Nicholas, what I was hoping for, because when he was when Nicholas was tagged in, this little young 10-year-old boy was tagged in, I was like, oh my God, here it goes. And I was really hoping like he would run over to Cesaro and slap him, or literally walk over to Cesaro kind of scared, and then he'd pull a straight face and then give him the finger Stone Cold style and give him a stunner. And I feel like if that happened, I don't know if the entire New Orleans Dome would have passed out. Like, just...
I think we would have died at that point. But at the same time, we would have known it to be a work. Because then that would have been planned. This, I don't know if, you know, Nicholas was legit picked for this early on.
Yes, he was.
But suspension of disbelief, Braun Strowman went into the crowd, picked some kid, and this kid was terrified.
Yeah. It was super cool. So
yeah,
in behind the scenes, this kid, Nicholas, is one of the WWE referee's kids. And I guess the specific referee, he was the referee during the Big Show Braun Strowman match where the ring collapsed and that referee kind of took the fall when that happened. So I you know, you got to think like maybe Braun Strowman was like, hey, we'll have your kid in the match, you know, for taking this amazing fall for us, you know, this long ago. And it worked because, I mean, Braun Strowman is literally, he's just, everybody loves him. He's so over right now. And by doing this, I don't think he could ever be heel again unless he choke slam that kid.
But even then, he'd probably get it over. You know? So they ended up winning the Raw tag titles. Nicholas and Braun.
Yes, they held it for one day. They held it for one day, which they had a great story for Raw the next day for giving them up.
Yeah, you know, the conflict of schedules. Nicholas had school.
Which is so great, which is so fun. And I'm just glad Cesaro and Sheamus played along with this and had a good time. I'm just glad that they're having fun.
Yeah, but you know, there are a lot of mixed reviews as far as that's concerned, because they're like, well, this just turns the Raw tag titles into a joke, and this makes the Bar a joke. And I'm like, guys, it's fun and games. It's wrestling. At the end of the day, it's wrestling. Just enjoy it for what it is. A 10-year-old child was a tag team champion. It's cool.
Yeah, with Braun Strowman, and it showed Braun Strowman can literally beat the tag team by himself.
Yeah.
No, that was super cool. And then, so now I got to ask about the Fatal 4-Way for the U.S. Championship where Randy Orton was champion. It seemed like everybody, of course, it's Rusev Day. Everybody wanted to win. However, Rusev didn't win. I just like, why didn't they? I feel like that could have happened.
That made
considering
no
what
sense.
Happened this week, which we'll get to, but I was just curious on like, because the whole crowd was like Rusev, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Rusev was over, like as over as he could be, and they wanted Rusev to win. Like everybody wanted Rusev to win. I wanted Rusev to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this was like one of the matches I didn't get right, you know, because I picked Rusev. And it ended up being Jinder freaking Mahal. And I don't mean that freaking in a good way, like Seth freaking Rollins, you know? This is like the bad connotation of freaking. And he pinned Rusev to do it? Nobody was happy for that. I mean, it's like, excuse us? We came here to see Rusev win. We want our money back. You know, that's pretty much what it was like in the crowd.
No, I that's how I was like. You want to see Rusev? They should have done that.
Send the fans home happy.
Yeah,
but Rusev, you know, because they should have known the main event was. I know I keep coming back to the main event, but I was just like, I was over it.
Yeah, you were over it. Let's go to the shortest match of the night, which lasted under 3 minutes, only 2 minutes and 45 seconds. Undertaker versus John Cena. So John Cena for like the last like 6 weeks have been calling that Undertaker, and then nothing happened. And then John Cena went to WrestleMania as a fan, sat on ringside. Drank beers. And then at some point, somebody came and said something to him, and he ran up the ramp. We don't know what happened or why. And then all of a sudden he comes out and nothing happens, or Elias comes out. And
yeah, okay. Yeah. That's the thing. That was funny because here we are, like John Cena is, he's out and he's pumped up. And then all of a sudden the lights go out and then we go, hello, I am Elias. And we're like, what?
Yeah. So Elias comes out, does his thing. John Cena AAs him, end of story.
Yeah.
Walks back up the ramp. Undertaker music, gong, lightning. Undertaker comes out for 30 minutes. His entrance.
3 minutes. Yeah, okay. His entrance was longer than the match.
Yes. And then basically Undertaker just did like his four signature moves on John Cena, and that was it. So basically, it's like WrestleMania 32 when The Rock had a match with the Wyatt family and he did his three moves to them, and that was it. So it takes Undertaker longer, but I just, yes, it was cool to see Undertaker, but not like this. And like, yes, John Cena just knows he's gonna get his ass kicked.
I'm gonna have to disagree with you. I was a little girl again watching The Undertaker, and I mean that, and I was a child watching one of my childhood heroes at his pay-per-view, basically. Because, you know, when you think of WrestleMania, you think of The Undertaker, basically. And not only did I get to see an Undertaker entrance at WrestleMania in person, and, I mean, even that whole entire build. Well, I mean, because, you know, last year he left his hat and coat in the ring, and then John Cena's like halfway up the ramp, and then the lights go out, and there's lightning, and then a spotlight on the middle of the ring. The hat and coat are there, and then lightning strikes it, and then the Undertaker appears, and then he comes down, and there's lasers and lightning and fire, and then he kicks John Cena's ass.
It was like a fairy tale for you.
It was awesome. It was like, okay. Not only did I get to see Seth Rollins become a Grand Slam champion by winning the Intercontinental Championship, I got to see The Undertaker. But not only did I get to see The Undertaker, I got to see The Undertaker beat up John Cena. All right? Worth the full ticket price right there.
There you go.
My night could have been those two matches, and I'd have been okay with it.
There you go. That is.
So yeah, I disagree that it wasn't good. It was phenomenal.
Well, okay. I'm glad you.
Phenomenal.
I'm sorry you liked it.
Well, I'm sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. And the rest of the matches, you know, you have Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss. You have.
That was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. You had Daniel Bryan, Shane McMahon, and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
That was okay. Daniel Bryan's entrance, I will, you know, pull us aside to this. Being part of the Yes Movement, and I've always been real down on Daniel Bryan. You know, I'm not into flying goats. But as even just a wrestling fan, to know what he's been through, to know what that meant. And it was in the Superdome where he finally got it over on the authority like 4 years ago, you know, when he won the titles. You know, just that same building. It was one of those, you know, I never understood how guys could cry at football. You know, I just never understood it. And then when Daniel Bryan makes his comeback in the stadium where he won the titles and after us not knowing if he'd ever be able to wrestle in a WWE ring again. And just, he was welcomed like a hero.
Yep. He was welcomed like a hero.
I might have welcomed him like a hero too.
Oh, good.
You know, I'll admit that, you know,
I'm glad.
I cheered for Daniel Bryan, even though I wanted Kevin and Sammy to win, which is another one I didn't win. I don't. But yeah, no, that was just something to be a part of. And yeah, I might have cried a little bit. Tears of joy. Tears of joy. I do have a heart, contrary to popular belief.
You have a big heart. It is a good heart.
Quit ruining my reputation.
She's not the heel she thinks she is.
You know, I will hit you with a chair. Repeatedly.
And then you have Charlotte Flair and Asuka. And I think, Angie, you won this because Asuka finally lost her first match in WWE ever at WrestleMania against Charlotte.
You know, one of the things I told you before we closed out last podcast was WrestleMania in New Orleans is exactly where streaks get broken.
Yeah, it's true. You were right.
I know I was.
I know I was.
Yeah, and here's another thing. That match went on second. And Charlotte is my girl. I love Charlotte. You know, she can do no wrong in my eyes. Even when she is healing it up, I'm like, yep. She's legitimized. She's justified for everything she does and says. She is as good as she says she is, you know. And I just love Charlotte. And to see her break the streak, to see her entrance was pretty cool too. But, you know, I already didn't have a voice after Seth's match. I must have stolen somebody else's next to me. Because all of a sudden, I could cheer for her again. And, oh, man, that match was a really good match, too. It's like they put the best matches on at the beginning of the show. And then it's like, oh, hey, we're going to put these crappy matches at the end. Y'all are okay with that, right? And we're like, no.
Yeah.
You know, Charlotte and Asuka should have been main event.
Charlotte and Asuka? Yeah, yeah. I mean,
You know, go on record, and I will say, I think Charlotte and Asuka should have been the main event because people would have responded to that one.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Because they put on probably the best show.
They did. Hands down, like, even with, you know, the Triple Threat Intercontinental, that one, while a really, really good match, Charlotte and Asuka tore the house down. They were legit the best technically based match of the night, in my opinion. You know that? Yeah. I
get it. And so I have to say this. I just did the math. Wrestling time, not including the three matches on the pre-show for WrestleMania, but the other matches at WrestleMania during, like, you know, the main show, if you tuned in at 6 or 7 or something like that, mm-hmm. Wrestling time was 2 hours. Well, 129 minutes. We'll just round it up to 130 minutes. So 2 hours and 10 minutes of wrestling time. And when you think about that, that's like 4 hours of not wrestling.
What were we doing those 4 hours?
Watching the entrances and who knows? But yeah, 129 minutes. And interestingly enough, what I thought was going to be the shortest match of the night ended up being the longest match of the night, which was the Kurt Angle, Ronda Rousey, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon. That was the longest match of the night.
That one had the best story to it.
Yes. And I wish others had that best story in there, for at least for WrestleMania.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll also say it's like everybody just freaking lost their minds when Ronda squared up to Triple H.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And when Steph was out and Angle was out and it was just H and Ronda and she squares up to him, everybody was like, yes, we want to see this. And I'm like, they're not going to let that happen. They're not going to. And then H told the referee, no, let it happen. I make the rules. And then she lit him up. I'm like, whoa, yeah. Go Ronda. Even though I was cheering for H and Steph, even though I knew that one was going to be a losing bet, I knew it. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I know this is not going to happen. But I cheered for Ronda too, because, you know, I wanted her to do good, even though I was pretty sure that match was going to be a train wreck. I wanted her to do good. She's won me over. Like in her other appearances, post-WrestleMania, I really want to see what else she can do, because I know I'm kind of jumping ahead into a whole nother show, but last night on Raw, when she took out Sonya Deville,
yeah,
boom, ba-bam, you couldn't even see her hands move half the time. It was like, whoa, and then Sonya's down. Okay. She's legit. So, yeah, I'm totally into Rhonda right now. Not only, you know, I want to see what else she's doing.
But she's really into Rhonda.
But I'm really into Rhonda. I think I have a new woman crush.
There you go. Very cool. So yeah, that's kind of WrestleMania 34. I don't think it was the best WrestleMania. However, there's some pretty cool spots in it. And we'll see how long kind of
be.
Huh?
If I had to grade it,
yeah,
I'd give it a B because okay. when it was good, it was great. But when it was bad, it missed the mark completely. So I'd probably give it about a B.
Okay. All right.
Ish.
And so next year, 2019, WrestleMania 35 will be in New Jersey at the MetLife Stadium. So yeah, that's how it is. And interestingly enough, since 2015, the main events at WrestleMania have two of them have been won by Brock Lesnar, one by Triple H. Actually, that's not true.
Yeah, I'd be like, wait a minute, no, H lost his.
Yes. But Brock Lesnar has been in two of them, but Roman Reigns has been in the last four main events for WrestleMania, which is really weird. So,
you'd think they'd get the memo by now. WWE Universe is not. We really don't want this guy. Can you find us somebody else, please?
Find us somebody else. So yeah, there that is. So we saw Raw. Raw had a couple of cool things actually, but. We have to talk about this. Well, first, before we get into the Raw, the Superstar Shakedown for this coming week, we have to talk about John Cena and his relationship with the one half of the Bella Twins, Nikki Bella. So a year ago at WrestleMania, John Cena proposed in the ring at WrestleMania to Nikki Bella. And this was like a whole thing, like John Cena was never going to get married. He puts himself before anybody else because of his schedule and everything. He does so much. He doesn't have time or he doesn't make it a priority to be with family or somebody like that. So, and it, like in Total Divas and Total Bellas, that's been an issue. Even The Miz made fun of it. And Daniel Bryan's made fun of it. And so I guess they were supposed to be married in May, like in just in a couple weeks. And the news broke yesterday. John Cena and Nikki Bella have parted ways. And
I have nothing to do with that.
No. Angie supposedly has nothing to do with that. Allegedly.
No, it's like, you know, just because John Cena I may have been in John Cena's eyesight when I was lifting, because after the Seth Rollins workout, I started working out with the coach at CrossFit NOLA. And I may have been working on some barbell cycling, heavy power cleans, and, you know, just touch and goes. But I had nothing to do with John Cena breaking up with Nikki.
Well, I'm glad you cleared the air.
Yes,
we
nothing to do.
We were all worried about that.
I'm not going to be Angie Cena anytime soon. No.
That has a nice ring to it.
No, it doesn't. Stop it.
Angie Cena.
I'm going to kick your ass. I know what city you live in. Nope.
So, yeah, I guess they broke it off. And this is, like, kind of crazy because this is, like, supposedly a dick move, and we don't know like really what happened, but they were legitimately supposed to get married like on Cinco de Mayo, like May 5th area that weekend, and I think they had like everything planned, and that is not happening anymore. And like, you know, you kind of say like, is this a work, is this a shoot for Total Bellas, Total Divas? And you know, that would just be in poor taste, I feel like. I don't know.
Yeah, but, I agree. I mean, we don't know what happened. It came out of the blue, though, because even like a month ago, he was talking about the wedding on interviews and things like that. And, you know, how Nikki was basically handling everything. And, you know, it's I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I have no idea. But you have to think. That there are certain factors, because in the entertainment industry in Hollywood, there really is no such thing as real love, as we've seen time and time again.
Unless you're the Miz and Maurice.
You're the Miz and Maurice. But when you even think about that, John Cena's on a way different level, especially now.
But you're saying Miz isn't an A-lister?
No, well, he's definitely not. No, you not not in the real world. In wrestling, yes.
You just hurt me.
Well, you know, I love the Miz more than John Cena, so there you go. But you know, Nikki Bella and John Cena. I mean, you think about it. Yes, a year ago they were engaged, and their engagement lasted a shorter time than Brock Lesnar held the championship so far.
Yeah.
But sad. It's you see this and you're just like, okay, so Bella kind of, you know, you see Bella and you see Cena. They're both, I guess, good looking people. I mean, I guess Cena looks like he went crazy at a GNC store. And Nikki Bella kind of looks like a skinnier Kim Kardashian. But then again, Nikki Bella hasn't done much as far as her own show. But then we have John Cena is kind of slowly turning into The Rock, where he's had two or three back to back hit movies. And In addition to those movies, he's doing wrestling, he's doing the Today Show, he's doing Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, he's transitioning away from...
Transitioning, and maybe he's looking... I mean, he wants to have his options open, and that's... I mean, I hate to say it, that's just kind of how Hollywood is, you know? And, mm-hmm. and it sucks because John Cena in the wrestling world is like 80 years old, and he has Nikki Bella, who he's been in a relationship with for what seems like a long time. I don't know why he needs to. I mean, he's on his way out in his wrestling career. Why not just have? I don't know what the real story is. I'm just saying, probably on both sides. I don't think both of these people. You know, they have both of these people have a lot of money, and they're both in the entertainment Hollywood scene. They're both, you know.
Okay, I may have seen a few episodes of Total Divas, but at the first season, second season, and one thing that I noticed about John and Nikki's relationship is that it was very, he was very paternal to her. It was almost like, Nikki, do you really, he took on the male authority figure because she was acting so immature and like a child. And so I'm like, there's no way this relationship can last to marriage. And so I wonder if that had to fit into it, where he realized, oh my gosh, I didn't want kids. She's basically a kid.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he wants somebody more mature.
Right. Right. No, I totally get that. That side.
Yeah. It's like, again, this is just speculation, and because we don't know what happened, but you know, and we don't know the circumstances behind it. But I mean, just observing them in Total Bellas, you know, and that, I mean, granted, it's reality TV, so how much of that is real,
yeah,
you know, and how much of that is predetermined, but just their interactions together, it was just like, whoa.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. But there's something fishy, and just, you know, you see that, and you're like, okay, so if Bella or Cena comes back, you know the crowd's going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that works out. And, I'm sure we'll find out sooner or later.
I wish them both the best. I mean, a breakup, even if it's amicable, no breakup is easy.
Yeah, there you go. But moving on to the superstar shakeup of Raw and SmackDown this week. SmackDown has not aired as of this podcast recording, but Raw has. And as we talked about on the WrestleMania segment earlier on, Jinder Mahal won the U.S. Championship in the Fatal 4-Way at WrestleMania, only to lose it 2 weeks later to a returning Jeff Hardy, to WWE after his injury on a Raw, which was awesome. I mean, everybody loved Jeff Hardy, and it was great to finally see kind of like, you know, that Jeff Hardy Undertaker match from years and years ago, which was so great. But to see this little Jeff Hardy guy versus this big Jinder Mahal guy and actually win, I think that was really cool. So I just don't know what Jinder is going to do. I mean, he probably might be on SmackDown again, or if he's coming to Raw, he's going to go somewhere else. I don't know, but I like that aspect of it. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And hey, wait a minute. It's like Jinder Mahal, you know, now I have to figure out who I need to do something right quick, because it's freaking awesome. Because I just had a thought, like, who was all in 3MB?
3MB?
3MB. It was Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, and who was the third?
Was it Mike the Miz?
No. Hold on.
Oh, it was...
Wasn't it Drew McIntyre?
Yes, it was Drew McIntyre, yes.
All right, we're going to have a reunion.
Because Drew McIntyre...
3MB reunion, they're getting back together.
Yes, 3MB. You're going to have Heath Slater, you're going to have Drew McIntyre, and you're going to have Jinder Mahal, because Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler came over to Raw.
Yep.
So if Heath Slater's...
finished by Dolph.
So if Heath Slater's in, does that mean Rhino's in?
No, we're going to lose Rhino. Sorry.
So yeah. 3MB is back.
He'll be a roadie. He'll be a roadie for 3MB. We have a manager in Dolph Ziggler. It's the new It stable, guys. Dude, if this happens, Brian, you owe me dinner.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I'll take that bet because, you know, back, I guess, last year, Jinder Mahal said there will be a 3MB reunion in an interview. So, you know, and if you don't know who 3MB is, yes, they were kind of villains in the WWE scene, and it definitely consisted of Jinder and Heath Slater and Drew McIntyre, and they were known as the Jobbers Squad, basically. They just kind of came out and lost all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really funny, and this was back in a time where kind of like the Shield was a thing, and... And this is back when Heath Slater had really long hair. if you remember that far back.
I'm looking at a picture right now. Cause you know, I had to make sure before I said three, you know, I'm like, oh, it was Drew McIntyre. What the hey? You know? And yeah, it's sorry. I'm just really giggling a lot about this. I'm enjoying it way more than I should.
Yeah, so 3MB is going to happen. We don't know how long it's going to happen for, because I think Jinder's a fun wrestler to watch. I don't like his gimmick. But if he's going to be in the 3MB thing, I'm definitely for it, at least for a little while, if they have fun with it.
And you heard it here first, guys, because I've not seen anybody else make this connection, you know? No. As of right now, nobody else is like, oh, hey, 3MB is back. They're all in the same show.
And 3MB stands for three-man band.
Three-man band.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that's pretty funny.
That's hilarious. Okay, but going back and getting a little serious, yes, Jinder lost the U.S. title. I think he is going to stay on Raw. Now, whether the U.S. title stays on Raw, that's still up for debate. But then again, if that title does stay on Raw, that means by default, the Intercontinental title has to go, because you can't have both mid-card titles on the same show and leave tag titles and the heavyweight championship over on SmackDown. That's all they get, unless they're introducing new titles for SmackDown.
Yeah.
But yeah, you gotta have a mid-card title on each show. So I think my boy Rollins might be going to the blue brand, which means he's gotta redo all his t-shirts.
Which is fine. That's just more t-shirts to buy.
Yeah. Though I will say, during the time he was hanging out with us, I did ask him, you know, hey, who would you, if you could choose any wrestler to have a match with, who would it be? And he had me qualify it with like active wrestlers or like historical wrestlers. I'm like, active wrestlers. He went AJ Styles, and and now he might be going to SmackDown. I don't think my brain could handle it.
Seth Rollins, AJ Styles would be amazing, but you got to think like Shinsuke and Seth Rollins are going to face off first before that happens.
I really want Seth to curb stomp Shinsuke. But I just also want it to be known, I didn't like Shinsuke before everybody else started not liking Shinsuke. So,
I love Shinsuke even more now that he's heel Shinsuke.
No,
I'm
y'all.
On the bandwagon.
Just weird.
You're
weird. Get off my bandwagon, all you people who don't like Shinsuke now. I didn't like him first.
It's so good. But yeah, so we had that. Looks like Tyler Breeze and Breezango, the Fashion Police, are on Raw now.
Love it.
Which is great. Who else did we see come over to Raw? I'm trying to remember like the big ones.
Bobby Roode.
Oh, yes. Bobby Roode. Glorious.
That was an okay surprise. I don't know why I was expecting something a little bit more from the... Okay. Let me go back. The main event of Raw last night was a 10-man tag of Miz, the Miztourage, Kevin and Sammy, who are now a part of Raw.
Correct.
That's another storyline thing that happened was Kurt Angle said that they couldn't be part of Raw. And then they got an email from Stephanie saying, hey, yeah, Kurt, he's kind of emotional. I overrule this. So they are legit on Raw. However, this was the Miz's last night on Raw because Daniel Bryan apparently still has some pull with the SmackDown higher-ups, and he requested personally that the Miz come over to SmackDown. So, guys, this is happening. We're going to get this blood feud, and it will be spectacular.
It needs to happen because there was unfinished business with Daniel Bryan and The Miz, and those two on the mic will be so glorious and amazing to tell a story. I'm just super excited about it.
Right. But, okay, on the other side, I, as much as I want to dig into that, I have, like, ADD, so I need to go back before I forget this. On the other side, we had Braun Strowman, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Bobby Lashley, who's back. I'm not really wowed by that. And then a mystery partner.
Yeah.
Who we would find out at the time. And everybody's like, oh, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? And, you know, I don't know why I was expecting something more than Bobby Roode. But, hey, it was Bobby Roode. Hey, it was glorious. Yay.
Bobby Roode. Yeah.
Go team.
And so SmackDown tonight, we'll see who comes over. Who knows if Roman Reigns will come over? Who knows if Brock Lesnar will come over? How awesome would it be if Brock Lesnar showed up?
He goes to the Blue Brand, really?
Oh, that'd be so awesome. I'm in.
I also heard today, because they were still, making switches after Raw went off the air. Right. I did hear that Chad Gable is now on Raw.
Yes, that is true. They just can't. It's ridiculous they got rid of the American Alpha thing. I just don't get it. But
I loved American Alpha 1.0. I would love to see Chad and Jason when he comes back. I would cheer Jason Jordan at that point, even though he's still dead to me. And if y'all don't get that reference, go back and listen to our other podcasts. Y'all will get it.
Yep.
Yeah, just go back and listen of why he's dead to me. I'm not going to go into it. But I would love to see American Alpha reunite because they were a great tag team. Their chemistry together, the way they, they were on the mic. They're just everything about them. They were a beautiful Olympic-style tag team. It's like what they tried to make Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable, but it didn't really quite work because everybody's like, dude, you're just American Alpha 2.0. We get it. Yay. But we didn't want it. We got it, but we didn't want it. And they should have never broke up American Alpha in the first place, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting time in WWE right now because superstars are going to different brands. We'll see kind of what sets the tone for the next few pay-per-views. And then SummerSlam's coming up in a few months, which is the next big one. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see all of what's going to go down in the world of WWE.
Hey, we've got the biggest Royal Rumble ever.
Yes, biggest Royal Rumble ever is coming.
In Saudi Arabia.
No women will be there.
You know, there are different laws there, and yep. While we may not understand it as the culture we are, it's their culture. I'm not going to talk bad about it. Is it? Do I agree with it? No, but that's not my culture.
So I get that, and, you know, I've talked about this with people, and I see, like, okay, so, you know, Saudi Arabia probably is giving WWE a ton of money for this, to be there and do this. And with that money, they can put more money into the women's division. And just like they made Paige a GM, you know, I think they'll be able to do that. But as of now, there are 10 matches for that. There's the 50-man Royal Rumble match. You will get Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns in a steel cage. You will get Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Miz, and Samoa Joe for the Intercontinental Championship in a ladder match. You will have Jeff Hardy and Jinder Mahal for the U.S. Championship there. You'll have Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy versus Cesaro and Sheamus. Bludgeon Brothers versus the Usos. You'll have John Cena versus Triple H, interestingly enough.
That one came out of nowhere. It's like, okay, guys, don't know why y'all are doing that. Just because it's two big names.
Yes, exactly. And then you have Rusev versus The Undertaker in the casket match.
Which may or may not have even happened in the first place, because, whoa, controversy there.
Yeah, so at first it was Rusev and The Undertaker, and then it was Undertaker and Chris Jericho.
And now it's back to Rusev.
And Undertaker. So who knows what's happening here?
You know, let's just throw Jericho in there for the giggles of it.
Yes.
You know, let me get a triple threat. Why not?
But now, you know? But Chris Jericho is in the Royal Rumble now. Daniel Bryan's in there. Goldust, Mojo.
He better win.
Yeah, no. So you have all of this, and there's only, what, is there like maybe 15, not even 20 people listed. So there's definitely going to be some big people coming out for this, because I'd imagine some prince in Saudi Arabia is like, here's $100 million, do this.
Yes, so, here. I want y'all to come perform specifically for me.
Yeah.
So, and I want my favorite pay-per-view is the Royal Rumble, so I want the biggest Royal Rumble. And, I can see WWE even tapping NXT for people.
Yeah, no, for sure. There'll definitely be some NXT people, but if they're John Cena, Triple H, they're just doing big events here. And yes, this will be on the WWE Network. I don't know exactly what time it will be on, because it will be in Saudi Arabia,
in Saudi time.
Yes,
so
in Saudi time. So it will.
So us Americans, we get to stay up late.
Yes, very true. So that's coming up on April 27th. That's only a couple weeks away. So they're gearing up for that. And then there will be, Backlash as well. So that'll be the next big U.S. pay-per-view. And then, of course, after that, Money in the Bank.
But here's another thing. Announced last night on Raw, they are no longer doing split brand pay-per-views. Every pay-per-view going forward, according to everybody on Raw last night, the announcers, they're going to be co-branded.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
it's... Yeah, that double pay-per-view thing was a little, that was a little much, guys. A pay-per-view every 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, because you have Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday to watch, and then, like, every other week you have a pay-per-view. It's too much.
It's a little much.
So I'm glad they're doing it this way. Do a pay-per-view every 5 or 6 weeks and we'll be happy.
Yeah, and we'll get much more out of the stories. There's more time to develop stories at that point.
True. Very true. Oh,
and that's what we tune in for. You know, as much as we say it's the wrestling, we're into the drama.
We're into the drama and the wrestling, both. Wrestling is everything is wrestling. Both,
you know, and when the drama and the wrestling go together, whoa, mind blown. That's when you get your good matches.
That's when it's great.
Yes. Like, you know, go watch NXT. You'll see it great.
Oh, yes. You'll see it.
Just want to throw that out there because I don't think we have enough time to talk about the awesomeness that is NXT TakeOver.
Yeah, NXT TakeOver New Orleans, we'll just have to say, was the best thing of WWE they've done in a very long time. Every match.
I don't remember anything better. Like, yeah. There were so many good matches on there. I will say my favorite. Oh, yeah. You know, as far as, you know, picking winners goes, I was 100% accurate at NXT TakeOver New Orleans, and I'm so sad we didn't bet on it because I would have won that too.
Yeah, it was so. You did well predicting these storylines. It's almost as if you have a direct line to WWE and you know what the stories are.
Yeah, I may have a best friend somewhere. Not really, but I like to think I do.
Yeah.
He knows my name.
He knows your name. He recognizes you.
He knows who I am.
But yeah, NXT TakeOver New Orleans was insanely good. Every match was great. I actually texted some people like that was the best pay-per-view since probably WrestleMania 17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you and I talked about it, honestly.
Yeah.
There were 2 5-star matches. I think it was the ladder match and definitely Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. And yeah. If you only watch one match, watch Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano, the best match I have ever seen.
Yeah, the story with that, the way they told the in-ring story, the wrestling, everything was perfect about that match. And as well,
I may have shed tears for that match too.
Yeah, it's so good because it's a long story.
It will play with your emotions. Like, be prepared, have your tissues right there because you're going to cry. It's that good.
Yeah.
And cry in a good way.
Of course. And the match to start the pay-per-view off, that ladder match was,
oh my gosh,
that just set the tone. You're just like, wow, what? And then you're just
I don't even know how the crowd had enough energy for the rest of the night because every match they were up and on top of it. And okay, the ladder match, insane, in freaking sane. And then you had the women's title with Shayna Baszler and Ember Moon. Whoa.
Yeah, it was really good too.
Yeah, and then the tag team match where we found out who was going to win the Dusty Rhodes Classic and the tag titles. And oh man, like there is so much you can get into, and
it's
like, we do not have time. We could have a show by itself for
about
NXT.
That. Yeah, yeah, it was just if you want to get into wrestling,
Andrade and Almas.
Yeah.
Again, I know I keep going.
It's crazy good. It's crazy good. Watch it. It's better than WrestleMania.
It's way better than WrestleMania. There is not a bad match on this card.
That's very.
There's
true.
Not a lull in this card. You will not be bored. It's like a 2-hour show, but it flies by because there is so much action and so much. Like if you have never seen NXT before, go watch this. You will be hooked.
Listen to her, folks. She knows what she's talking about.
I do. I'm good like that.
There you go. But yeah, that is our podcast for this week, the WEW podcast. We will try to be back next week. If not, we will definitely be back for the greatest Royal Rumble, talking about all the things that happened there for sure. But we are on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And a big thanks to Angie for always joining. She's amazing. And find her where?
You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Angie Faye, and that's AngiFAE. Warning, there's not much wrestling on there. There's slightly bit of wrestling, but it's mainly how I keep track of my fitness stuff. And if you like CrossFit and inspiring stories, come check me out.
There you go. That's Angie. She's amazing. And you can find her on Boomstick Comics and iTunes.
Oh, yeah. 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 You can find me there, too.
Yes. She's there, too. But, yes, we love you. Wrestling is Everything is Wrestling. The WEW podcast will be back very soon. And have a good week.
Yes, we will. Bye, loves.